Save big money on your bathroom update at Menards. Transform your bathroom with a stunning new vanity from Magic Woods. With over 100 options to choose from, our vanities combine contemporary style with durable materials. Find the ideal piece to create the bathroom you've always wanted. From stylish and elegant to simple and modern, save big money on Magic Woods vanities at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all our great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Hi, I'm Tommy, and you're listening to Tea and Waffles, A Guide to 2021, powered by Transmission Roundhouse. The podcast series focused on tackling issues faced by young people and guiding you through this messy COVID period. In this new season, I've lined up 6 more topics and some incredible guests to discuss them with to guide you as we adapt to the new normal. Every day you make choices, from what you wear to what you eat. Today you chose to press play. Look at you, what a great choice you made. The third episode of this season is about politics. Not exactly the most glamorous opening line, I'll admit, but in a year where our choices were limited, it's important to understand those who made choices on our behalf. Politics is a funny one. To the untrained eye, it looks like everyone waits 4 years to listen in and side with a spokesperson from the group saying all the right things to them, subsequently leading them to monitor any screen they can find over the next 24 hours to see if their colour bar they chose can raise the highest. In reality, it's creating policies based on understanding of public needs and balancing funding on a local and national level, whilst campaigning them to the entire nation for months. Slightly more complex than bar charts and nodding in agreement. In this episode, I wanted to deep dive into the relationship that young people have with politics, to really understand whether politicians and those in power really create policies with young people in mind, and how young people can bring about influence and change. To do this, I had the help of Labour councillor Grace Williams from Waltham Forest and Lib Dem councillor Tim Cobbett from Kingston-upon-Thames. But to break it down for those who do or don't know what a councillor is, they act as the link between the party or council making decisions within your borough and the local community. Their interactions and influence within the borough assist them in making key decisions in your everyday life, from when the rubbish is taken out to provide an open recreational spaces for locals. But it's important to note, although they do a lot for their local areas, they have to get around first. So in true Tea and Waffles fashion, here's a little more about my guests, Grace and Tim, and what they were rocking on their souls when I got the pleasure of speaking to them.
Thank you, Tommy. Okay, well, first of all, I should say that I'm definitely not young, and I'm not here to speak on behalf of young people. But in terms of what I do in my role, I get to work with a lot of young people and a lot of children and families as well, and teachers and social workers. And what our aim is to improve things in our borough, in Waltham Forest. So it can involve, for example, making decisions about budgets for children and young people, or looking at a service and saying, well, how do we make that better? What decisions do we need to make? So that's what I get to do in my day job. Funny that you've asked me that today, because I'm actually wearing my son's Nike sliders. With socks, very unfashionably with socks, but he would be really annoyed if he knew that I was wearing his sliders secretly.
Hi.
they're the most comfortable thing. Nike sliders, they're just, you know, they're so comfortable.
Oh, hi, good evening, Tommy. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I can give you a little bit of background about myself. I'm a councillor in New Malden, if people know it. If people don't know it, it's sort of about halfway between Kingston and Wimbledon, which most people probably will know. We're sort of famous, actually, for having the largest Korean community outside of Korea itself in New Malden. If you've been, or if you come and visit New Malden, you'll see that very much reflected in the high street and the different Korean shops and restaurants and businesses that we have. I originally grew up in the area, actually. I went away to university, worked in various other places, and now I'm kind of back in what was my original home. So it's kind of particularly resonates with me to kind of represent the area where I grew up. And just in terms of my role, a bit like you said, I'm obviously all councillors are kind of responsible for doing work in their own wards and helping people that might have issues in their own areas. I've got the additional responsibility at the moment in the council administration for communities and engagement. So I kind of cover our communications, our kind of resident engagement and consultation work. And I'm also responsible for things like our adult education service and some internal things like how we do our governance and decision making and some of our staff engagement within the council as well. Well, Tommy, I don't think I'll get any credibility for this, but I'm actually got my slippers on at the moment. This is it's a consequence of lockdown working. If I'd come to meet you in London, I probably would have put some shoes on. I'm actually always quite keen to get my shoes off when I come home. I haven't been out. But it's also nice to have something on your feet, and they're just quite relaxing to wear at home.
The perceived association between young people and politics is often seen as a fractured one, partly due to differences in age, culture, and outlooks in life, amongst a whole host of things. But I always find things are rarely what they seem to be. So I gathered the thoughts of my guests on their perceptions on what the current relationship is like between young people and politics.
It's a complex question, I think, probably worth breaking down a little bit. I mean, I know there is a kind of narrative that you do hear about how young people are disengaged with politics. I'm not sure in a straightforward way that is the case. And what I mean by that is, I think if you view it purely in terms of like involvement in formal politics, like political parties and, you know, turning up at council meetings and whatever, then you could make that, you could say that. But then, to be honest, you could probably say that for like people in general, not just young people. Like, most people are not involved in like formal politics in that way. But that doesn't mean they're not involved in things that like affect decisions or like affect the lives of people around them or who influence the people that do make decisions. So I think it's my answer would be quite nuanced. I mean, I think there probably is a kind of, there probably is a narrative in society in general, not just with young people, that like politicians are for some sort of people that like are somehow different and sort of up there somewhere making decisions. I would hope that in a way that's less the case for the local level, because, you know, obviously councillors, like, you know, we all live in the places we represent. We just, you know, walking around going to the same shops and doing the same thing. So it's not like being an MP where you've got a big office and a load of staff. Like, we're not really separated from the rest of our community in that way. But yeah, I mean, I think probably there probably is a disconnect with like some of the formality of like parties and formal decision making. But I think that's true not just of young people. I think that's true of people in general. It's certainly my experience of like working with young people in my working life is there are plenty of people out there who care about issues. Like, if you find that, you know, you find the issue that people care about, people want to do something about it. It often depends how that's framed.
I think what you said at the beginning, Tommy, is really right, that we're in this sort of new period, I think, in 2020 and 2021, where young people are getting involved in politics in a new way. And, you know, you talked about activism, and we've seen, you know, some really inspirational young people in different walks of life. So we've seen, you know, Greta Thunberg, but we've also seen people like Marcus Rashford, who's got involved in, you know, using social media to campaign on something that the government wasn't doing. We've seen Black Lives Matter activists as well, you know, really looking at those different ways of getting involved in politics. So that might be like posting something on social media or organising a protest, or it might be doing something at school or university that then becomes a bigger issue. So I think that we're on the cusp of a new era in terms of young people's involvement in politics. And I think it's a really exciting time to get more involved and to find out more about politics for young people.
Decisions, decisions, decisions was a trio of words running on repeat through the minds of all politicians every week before the 6 p.m. address to the nation. Whilst this happened, people waited for the decisions, decisions, decisions to be relayed, and life could finally unpause for the next stage of the COVID journey. During this period, I understand, those messages were designed to be reassuring, but at times they felt anything but that. As a young person, I couldn't help but feel we were last on the agenda. Our concerns about poor decision-making were never really addressed until we raised our voices loud enough so that our eclectic head of state heard our cries. But then again, I'm just one young person, so don't take it just from me.
Hi, my name's Nicole, and I'm a youth ambassador for Youth Employment UK. I think this current government and their policies don't have my interests in mind. I feel this Conservative government is really struggling to connect with young people. If you take the pandemic, for example, they never really listened to young people, and they just ended up doing what young people might want instead. Every COVID briefing the government did, it never included any young people, and this did really feel like it alienated us from the government. This government have thrown more people, more than ever, into poverty, and I feel like they just want to line the pockets of the richest companies in the world by giving them more tax breaks. They could solve a lot of social issues if they properly taxed big companies, but instead, working class people are having to pay the price. The government only seem to listen when people protest or give up a fuss. For example, Marcus Rashford, who campaigned for school children to be fed over the holidays. Or when Gavin Williamson refused the GCSE A-level results, which resulted in stress for millions of young people. Both situations where a lot of young people and people all over the UK protested, and in the end, the government relented on both. It just goes to show that the government and their policies are outdated, and they don't have our interests in mind whatsoever.
Hi, I'm Victoria and I'm a Youth Employment UK ambassador. I don't think that there's been enough support for young people. At the start of the pandemic, I feel like young people's needs were not being addressed. This impacted all students, but especially young people from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, international students, and young people doing their GCSE and A-level exams. Although, as the pandemic has continued, the support has gotten better, such as universities offering regular testing and support packages for students who live on campus, introducing better online teaching provisions, and a change in the way that GCSE and A-level exam grades are calculated. However, I don't think that this support is enough to bridge the gap between students or to help all students to catch up and support them with their futures.
Hi, I'm Kira and I'm a youth ambassador from Youth Employment UK. It is difficult to judge if the current government have young people's interests in mind because throughout the pandemic, there has not been much, if any, mention about youth policy. For example, when they were outlining lockdown restrictions, it always appeared that students, especially university students, were an afterthought in any decision making. For example, the tuition fees are still at the current rate on top of rent and the cost of living, which is completely unfair. The mental health of young people has also not been properly addressed, with a very apparent lack of resources devoted to tackle this ever-growing problem. These are problems that this government and future governments need to tackle properly and not just make soundbites to gain votes.
This prompted me into looking how councils are attempting to listen to young people within their constituencies And what does it look like when young people make decisions?
So it's a good question. There's a few things I can draw on that I think have been really quite good that we've done, like within the council itself. Some of it is in the area of our children's and youth services. So we have an organisation called Achieving for Children, who are a social enterprise, and they run our children's and youth services in the borough and also across Richmond Borough as well. So there's a few things that they're engaged in. We have a Children in Care Council. So that is of the children who are sort of actually looked after by the local authority. They elect people to kind of represent the other children that are in care, and they're involved in like shaping the policies and shaping what the services look like. And we also have a group of young people who are involved in helping out when we interview people for positions in that service. So as well as just like meeting the formal panel, they meet the group of young people and they give feedback on like what the candidates were like and what they said, which I think is kind of adds a really interesting dimension to that process. We also work quite closely across with our local youth council, and then our member of the local youth parliament. So they do a lot of work which are about our own services and sort of feeding back on what the services are like, co-designing what the services should look like in the future. But they also take on particular issues that they're passionate about. So a lot of their focus in the last year or two has been around environment and climate change, and then also around mental health and young people's access to mental health services. And through those kind of organisations, through the Children in Care Council and also through the Youth Council, obviously we can't make anyone do anything, but we always try and like, through the participation officers that we've got, we try and like try and integrate that into our formal decision making where we can. So we encourage those groups of young people to like put in questions to council committees or turn up at our full council meeting and actually ask a question of the councils about what we're doing, about the issues we care about, and get a response. Which actually to me is really refreshing, because it isn't, to be honest, who you normally see at those meetings. I think it's really good, because it actually, you know, the issues that different generations bring up aren't always the same, and sometimes the perspectives on the same issue are different. And it just actually, it reminds everyone who is an elected councillor actually that perspective is out there and that concern is out there, which can like help like change the dynamic of the meeting a bit. So I think there's a lot of work in that space. But also, even outside of youth services, we've tried to like come up with some innovations about when we're doing more of our general consultations about different issues. So one of the ones we've done recently has been reviewing like what our libraries are going to look like in the future, particularly with like pressures on funding. We want to look at like, can we have different things going on in the library buildings, and like join services together and make them kind of more like hubs of the community, but also obviously keep all the things that people really like about libraries as well. And there's a number of things we did there. We tried to work with the schools as well. So we had like through our links with the teachers and schools, we had like some of the younger kids were doing activities at school about either they were doing like a mock interview for like a job in a library in the future and what they would say, or they were like contributing to ideas boards and storyboards about what they might want to see in libraries in the future. And we also had an escape room, which was particularly for the sort of gamers out there, where like they took part in the escape room activity with all, tried to solve the challenge, but then through the way it was set up, they were like giving feedback on things that they would want to see in the library spaces as well. So it's, I think that's the kind of thing you've got to do, like, because people aren't sat there thinking, oh, I hope the council contacts me to take part in a concert. But like, people are getting on with their own lives. People don't think like that. So I think we can't just put stuff into the ether and hope that people are going to respond. So what we try and do is like make either like integrate it with stuff that's already going on in education or the youth service, or we try and make it into an experience or something that might be interesting to do in its own right. I think, it's by no means like a finished article. There's like lots more I think we could still do and things we could improve, but that's the kind of thing we've been like trying to do.
So in Waltham Forest, these are some of the things that we've tried to do. So a few years ago, we started to look at, okay, how could we involve young people a lot more in what we're doing? And we set up something called a Life Chances Commission. So it was really good. It was like the Life Chances Commission was a group of educationalists, so people who like really understand what you have to do to improve education. It was also it was like our schools and our school leaders, and it was also pupils at schools, and we got together to work on what could we do to improve in the very modern way. That is my door there. Can I just get it for one sec? I don't know what else I can do. Hold on. No chances, right? So, okay, you're right. That's fine. So what Life Chances did was we looked at all the evidence. We got together like groups of young people, school leaders, education, employment specialists, and we looked at, okay, what do we need to do to improve? And we came up with a list of about 20 recommendations that we're working through. And they were all, some of them were really about involving young people. So a good example is something called Opportunity Bank. So our young people said to us, we're not getting the right careers advice. We don't know how to organise like work placements or apprenticeships. So we worked with our young people to set up our own kind of like portal, work with young people to sort of actually be able to access those opportunities. So that was kind of one thing that we did that's been really good. But the other thing that we did is we thought, well, you know, we can't carry on doing this stuff without really regularly knowing what young people want and how they want to change our community. So we set up something called the Big Youth Conversation, which was titled by our young people. And I think every year since 2018, we've had about between 2,000, 4,000 young people get involved in this conversation. And we use social media to do it as well, but we also use like events in like youth organisations and in schools. And what we were saying to young people is, you know, yeah, we do want to know what the problems are, but we also want you to tell us what some of the solutions are. And so out of that comes some really interesting projects that are really youth-led. So one of the things is called Street Base, which is this really exciting project where young people have trained themselves to help other vulnerable young people. So it happened at the same time as violence was really on the rise in London boroughs and nationally, like knife violence and so on. And they said, well, you know, one of the big problems is young people don't know what's out there to help them. So we are going to help those young people by telling them what's out there and by connecting them. So that was a really good project. And then other projects have been training young people to understand health, for example, like public health. So why is it that there's health inequality? What leads to health inequality? And then these young people were trained to understand that and then decide on their own projects within a school or a college to change something. So it might be something about physical activity or mental health or sexual violence, and they would like lead it. And that has been a really amazing project as well. So I think what we found is that it doesn't really work just to set up like, okay, you have like an older people's council doing something over here and then young people do the same. Because young people, like everyone else, you just want to do something where you can change stuff. You don't want to just be part of a talking shop. You know, you have to actually do something where you can change. So those have been some of the things that we've done in Waltham Forest.
I echo the thoughts given by my guests, as I can almost hear the metaphoric knocking of MP knees against the satirical stylings of Munya Chihuahua as he takes on the government almost weekly. Dave, Stormzy and Drill Minister going toe to toe with the political parties in a booth and emerging victorious. And young people taking up to the streets of London to deliver their voices to number 10 like Amazon Prime. it's almost absurd to claim that young people are no longer interested in politics. But in saying that, the aforementioned events occurred due to their large scale or being carried out by high profile personnel. So I understand how somebody could underestimate the impact they could have to establish change. Personally, I know how it can feel to not know where to begin in tackling some of life's biggest dilemmas. But everything is always a dream until you've made it reality. So I ask my guests my final question. If a regular young person wanted to make an impact or change in their local area, what steps can they take to begin on this journey?
Start off with what you're interested in, right? You know, everyone cares about something. You know, so like when I've worked in universities and colleges, and you'd go up and ask people, like, do you want to be involved in, like, being a student representative? And they'd be like, oh, no thanks, sounds boring. But then you'd, like, listen to people in the, in the queue for getting their lunch, and they'd be talking about, oh, I'm frustrated about this, about the bus service, or I wish, like, the meals were cheaper in the lunch, you know, in the canteen for lunch. So actually, like, if you really drill down into it, like, most people do care about something. So I would start in a way with thinking about, well, what is it that you actually care about and want to change? Because then you're going to have the natural interest to carry it on. In terms of then where you go with that, again, like, no, there's no one answer. So a bit like I was saying before, like, for some people, they will have the interest in, like, more the formal politics and the parties. And I'd encourage everyone to, like, read what the different parties say about different issues and, like, get involved in the one that represents them. But for other people, it would be, actually, they just want to make something happen. So, you know, they might want to crowdfund to get a facility, like, available in their community for young people to use that isn't available. Or there might be something to do, like, connected with their school that they want to do, in terms of, like, you know, making sure that there's, like, an after school club, or, like, improving like, safety in the area around the school, or improving, like, the transport into school. Like, start with your own life, start with your own, like, you know, experience, and then if you're trying to, as it were, get, like, the people that you need to get to do something to do it, then kind of, I suppose the thing one is just persistence. So, like, just be enough of a nuisance that they'll want to do it to get you on side. But also, like, you know, talk to your friends about it. Get a group together. You want to do something, you know, together. Because a lot of getting involved, whether it's like politics, volunteering, social action, whatever it is, partly obviously about you want to bring about the change you want to bring about. But it's also, you know, when people get involved in stuff like that, it's also, like, life affirming for them, and they make friendships and they develop as people and all of that. So, you know, think about what you care about. You know, think about what's around you in your own community. It doesn't have to be, like, some people really care about, like, climate change or what's going on in the Middle East, whatever, great. But actually, if you're not interested in that, just look around you in your own area. There's probably actually something that could be better or something that you would want to change.
I think that's a really excellent question. So I think the first thing is, and I think it was something you mentioned early on, is find out what you can do in your school or your college, because, you know, your school or college, they will have things that you can do. I mean, you know, I think that you can join, for example, your school council, or if you're in university, you might be able to join a particular, like, campaigning group. Okay, the debating society might not be, like, I don't know, what you're interested in, but then again, isn't it interesting if you look at who the politicians are that we've got? They've all joined student politics. That's how they got in. And maybe most of us weren't doing that when we were at university. We probably all having a better time. But I think finding the thing you're interested in, it doesn't have to be a political party. It could be something like working on something like Black Lives Matter, or it could be something on violence against women and girls, and finding that group and doing some campaigning and getting that experience at school and college, I think, is really good. And there's a couple of national organisations too. So there's, like, the British Youth Council, and there's another one called Youth Politics. I know you might be able to share these links, but finding that interest that you have, you know, what is it that you're passionate about? What do you want to change? I think that would be my first step. And then I think the second step is, if you're still interested and you haven't been put off, some of the things that you've got to do in politics, then maybe join a political party. You know, there's lots of political parties, the big two, but there's also lots of other smaller ones. And you can look on their websites and find how you join, become a member of the party. And when you're a member of the party, you get to like make decisions about what the policies of the party is, but you get experience in terms of like campaigning, which means when people say campaigning, it can mean a lot of things. In political parties, it means knocking on the doors of people and talking to them and finding out what is important to them and whether they might vote for your party. But it can be something that actually, I think what we've seen in the Labour Party is a lot more young people join. So if you go to like a political meeting, there will be other young people there. So don't worry, you won't be the only one. It is starting to change. And then I guess step three is a little bit of a challenge, but you know, why not think about becoming a councillor? I think lots of people don't know what a councillor is, so they think that, but basically what a councillor does is they help make political decisions, so, and they help support their community. So a lot of it is like casework. So you get someone who needs help with housing and they come to you and you can help them. So if you're into helping people, it's quite good. But you also get to make decisions. And I think the problem is a lot of councillors are like white old men. Well, we need to change that. As you said, like if you want something different, then you have to change that. And what I would say about being a councillor is that I found that it's a really flexible and varied role. It's always really interesting. You can do it alongside other work. So young people's employment patterns really change. But if you're doing a job like being a podcaster, you could do it alongside that because it's something that is like a part-time job. So it's something you can do alongside your other interests that you have. And it to do it, you have to become a member of a political party, really. Essentially, you do. And every party has its own selection process, which can sound really daunting. But really, it's about like putting yourself forward and saying, okay, you know, I can do this. And you get a lot of support from your colleagues to do it. And you find out a lot about like how you can work with your community to change things. So I guess that would be my challenge. Like how many people out there could maybe, you know, think about that first step of becoming a councillor?
If you've made it here, then you've just finished Tea and Waffles, a guide to 2021. Powered by Transmission Roundhouse, featuring Grace Williams and Tim Cobbett. Make sure, if you've enjoyed this episode, to check us out on all social media platforms at Tea and Waffles Pod and join in the conversation. Finally, make sure to stay tuned for more topics, more amazing guests, and more importantly, more waffle.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.